been a series guy, not a serious guy, a series guy. And my comedy's not working today, is it? But anyway, we're going to start a new series, and it's called The Rhythm of Faith. I want to talk about faith for a few weeks. And we're going to take a natural approach, and then we're going to get into, you know, the faith and how it works and that kind of thing. But today we're going to talk a lot about the thought life. And our premise and what we're going to study as we do this is, it's basically this. What you hear is what you see. I didn't point to these. It's what you see. What you see is what you say. What you say is what you do. What you do is what you become. And we're gonna take a few weeks, and we're gonna talk about that. So I've been thinking about thinking this week. I've been thinking about thoughts. And we're going to look at lots of scripture today. This is going to be our introduction. But we're going to be talking about how we think, because it starts there. It doesn't start by change behavior. It doesn't start by just transformation. There's a process where transformation takes place. And, you know, that's one of the things that's so powerful about the Celebrate Recovery program, because it takes you through a process where it challenges you in different areas of your life, and it causes you to think different. And until you begin to think different, you're not going to see yourself any different than you've ever seen yourself before. See, some of you have had, all of us have had disappointments. All of us have had failures. All of us have had things happen in our life that are just not good, and some worse than others. And they affect us. Some of it goes all the way back to the way that we were raised. And sometimes we don't even understand why we think like we think. And but I'm here to tell you today, I don't care where you've been, what you've done, it can change. It can change. But it takes the power of Christ to do it. It takes the power of the gospel to do it. We heard a wonderful testimony Friday night. Brandy Barnes Cox shared her story. And she's probably got one of the most radical stories that I've heard in a long time. Just, I mean, a life that was just, can I say it? Jason said it last week, crappy. Just, it was just a mess. And I don't want to tell her story, but it was not good. Not good at all. There was not very many good things that happened to her in her life. And she did go to prison, got out of prison, and part of her parole was that her, I guess it was her aunt or grandmother or somebody, required her to come here to Celebrate Recovery. And when she first came, she was very mean. She growled at them. You think, that woman's got demons. So she may have, I don't know. But she kept coming. And you know, one thing I love about Friday nights is they accept people where they are, no matter what. And I want us on Sunday morning to be the same kind of church. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. We're more concerned where you're going. Where are you going? What direction are you headed in? And so, and I know we've got a lot of people in our church that have been down and out. But, you know, down and outers can become uppers. You know, not in the drug sense. Well, you can become uppers and goers and, you know, successful people. And God wants that for you. But there's a process that we go through. Now, there's many times that miraculous things happen, that instantaneous things happen. But even when instantaneous things happen, there still has to be transformation of the thinking. Because if you remain with your old thinking, stinking thinking, okay, you'll see yourself that way. You'll talk that way. You'll follow your mouth. You follow your mouth. And then your actions, they just become what you are. Then you wonder, well, God, why don't you do something? Well, there's a process that God has, and it's called faith. And that's what we want to learn about. How do we cooperate with what God says? And if we can do that, and we know that the key is the Word of God. I always want to make that plain, that the key is always the Word of God. And But we're going to talk about how our thoughts work. And I got to thinking about thinking this week. And I began to look back and say, okay, what about babies? Do they think? Do they think? You know, when they're born, do they have rational thoughts? And there's a lot going on. So you look at a little baby and you think, well, you know, there's not a lot going on up here. Did you know that the first 3 years of a baby's life, there's probably more brain activity going on than any other time in their lives? There's something called synaptic connections that are being made in the brain. Actually, 700 a second. Then it slows down after that. There's a lot going on in their brains. 700 synaptic connections. And what is that? Those are the little switches. The little places where the nerve endings, they communicate either electrical impulses or chemical impulses. And these things are being connected. And this is where they learn how to do things. And as the little brain things happen in their minds at 700 a second, they're constantly learning. So there's a lot of things that go on the inside before you see it on the outside. That's a pretty amazing thing. And what environment children are raised in determines their brain health. And a lot of people in life don't get off to a good start. There are children who are raised in dysfunctional homes. There's yelling, there's screaming, there's abuse. And there's something that doctors call toxic stress that can come into even a little baby's life that can affect its brain health. That the connections that need to be made are not made correctly. And so it begins to wire them to perceive life and things a certain way. And so by the time they're 3 years old, when they start having cognitive reasoning facilities working, there's already patterns set in their hearts and their minds that are destructive. And they don't even understand what's going on. And it's the environment that they were lived in. See, they start learning not by just hearing and reasoning. They start learning, first of all, by touch. Touch is very important in babies. Babies respond to touch. Brain health is connected to touch. Good touch. Talking sweet, telling children that you love them, even as little bitty babies. Connections, relationships are important. Families are very, very important. Mom and dad, you know, the proper environment for children to be raised in will determine their brain health. Not only just mom and dad, there's connections that need to be made outside of that. That's why we have nanas and papaws. That's why we have cousins and things like that. That can be a very, very important part of brain health. That relationships are bonded during those times. And I really believe that, you know, bringing children to church, allowing them to go and participate in the nursery and the toddlers, and then, you know, progression through. What are they learning to do? They're learning to interact with other children. It is healthy for them to do that. Have you ever seen a child that won't get away from its mother's skirt tails? And yeah, I don't know, I had somebody tell me this morning, you know, That can be a detriment if you're not careful. So we need to encourage children to establish bonds and relationships with other children. It's healthy. It's good for the brain. It's good. It's good synaptic connections that are made in the brain. And, you know, I encourage our grandkids all the time to talk to adults. Here at church, you know, especially one of them, that somebody will talk to them and they'll turn their head. And I'll say, hey, they said something to you. Talk to them. That's good. That's good for them. It's part of their formation. And we need to do that. But I'm thinking about little babies. Before they can think rationally, they gain information through the senses. And when we're talking about faith, we can't divorce faith from our five physical senses. Now, I know the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. So, but, you know, there are times that God will say something to us that we don't see the end result to. But one thing that we do know, that God does see the end result, doesn't he? He does see the end result. So when he guides us, we can trust him. We don't have to see the end result. But your faith formation comes through your senses. Faith comes by. How does faith come? Hearing. Is hearing one of the five physical senses? Yes. God made our five physical senses that we might know him better. Do you ever, I'll use the term, do you ever feel God? Yeah. You can sense God's presence, and it's part of our sensory makeup. See, you can develop your sensories to follow the flesh, or you can develop to follow God. But your five physical senses will be involved in your faith, because what you hear gets on the inside of you, and it causes you to see certain things. You know, if I say dog, do you see the letters D-O-G? Or do you see your mutt? You see your dog. I can paint a picture. I can use words and paint a picture in your mind. Dog. Big dog. Big black dog. Big black and white dog. Big black and white dog with big teeth. Now, what am I doing? See, you're hearing something, and at the same time, I'm painting a picture. You know, that's one of the great things about books, when you read books. And I think that a lot of people miss out in life because they'd rather go to a movie than read a book. You know, you go to a movie, it's amusing. It's entertaining. Muse means to think. Amuse means no think. Okay? It does its, your thinking for you. But a book, when you read a book, as you read that book, you picture it in your mind. See, there's a great connection in thoughts and what we see. And even as little children, the environment that they're raised in, what is their first glimpse of what God is like? It's what their parents are like. And, you know, if you're a cruel and mean parent, they're going to think God is mean and cruel. If you're loving and you know, corrective and all of those kind of things, you know what they're going to think about God? They're going to have a right picture of God. So it is very important how we parent. It's very important who our kids hang out with. It's very important who you allow to influence your children. But it's very important that your children become relational, because that's part of healthy brain growth. And it will be a part of healthy faith. Healthy faith. See, a lot of times we think faith is about asking God for stuff and having God give you stuff. Well, that's part of it. But your faith is your worldview. It's how you view the world that you live in. And if you view it wrongly, and it can go all the way back to the circumstances that you were raised in, even from a small baby. Now, I say that because maybe you didn't get off to a good start in your life. It's a sad thing, but there are babies that are abused, that are beaten, that are molested. That affects them. Even though they can't rationally understand what's going on, they are affected on the inside by that. And I don't know where you came from. I don't know what's happened to you. I don't have to know what's happened to you. But I've got good news for you today. Even if that did, and there were connections that were made wrongly, you're not doomed to that kind of lifestyle. You can change the way that you think. When you change the way that you think, you'll see yourself differently. You'll speak differently. You'll act differently. You will become something that's different. Amen? Amen. And it's a very powerful process that we need to go through. See, it's easy if we get started off right. where you get all of the proper connections that need to be made in the brain as they're connecting, and it's healthy, and it's a great environment. But I've learned one thing. There's no such thing as a perfect parent, is there? There's not. Our parents are not perfect, except for me. No, our parents are not perfect. They make mistakes. They're human. But see, you can overcome your upbringing. Thank God. If you come from a good home, it wasn't a perfect home, but thank God for it. If you come from a dysfunctional home, listen, you can overcome that. And some of the things that we're going to be sharing with you is how that works and how to develop your worldview or your faith so that you can overcome anything that's happened to you in your life. Does that sound good? Now, let me tell you how powerful this is, even with babies. There's a story that I came across as I was studying for this. This happened in September of 2010. There was a couple from Sydney, Australia, David and Kate Ogg. And she was pregnant with twins, a little boy and a little girl. She went into labor at 6 months and delivered the children. After delivery, The doctor comes in and says, "I'm sorry to tell you, but little Jamie, the little boy, didn't make it. He was stillborn. We tried everything we could to revive him, but he didn't make it." You can imagine the devastation. So they bring little Jamie in and lay it on Mama's chest so that Mom and Dad can say their goodbyes. They said, "You know, we resigned ourselves to the fact that we were losing our child." Said, "But we wanted to know, we wanted little Jamie to know who his parents were. So we began to talk to him. And we told him about his little sister. And how that his little sister was doing fine, and how that we loved him, and how that, you know, we're his parents." And they just began to talk to him. She held that baby on her chest. The father took his shirt off and laid the little baby on his chest. See, there's a practice in Australia that describes this. It's called kangaroo care. It's where skin on skin they incubate. And you know, they were saying goodbye to their little boy. She said, "I didn't want him to go not knowing who his parents were." Now, as far as I know, these were not Christians. She said, all of a sudden, the little baby began to move. We called for the doctor, but he wouldn't come. He said, "That's just normal. It's just reflexes." But the baby kept moving. And they kept calling for the doctor. The doctor wouldn't come. He thought they were crazy. She took breast milk and stuck it to the little baby's mouth. And he responded and sucked. In a few minutes, he opened his eyes. The doctor came then. That little baby, at the time this story was told, was 5 months old. See the power of touch? See the power of words. See how that, you know, that don't happen every time. Was that a miracle? Yeah, that was a miracle. But listen, it was facilitated by that touch, by speaking life to that child, that baby responded that was dead. It was clinically dead and had been for 2 hours. And it came back. Now he's 5 years old. That's an amazing story that talks about how important it is that for development that we can see this even miraculous things that can happen when we correspond with the way that God designed us. We start learning through touch, through hearing. You know, baby's sight is not that good when they're young. But they start developing through the sense of touch and smell and taste. And before you know it, but long time before they start putting thoughts together in a rational, cognitive way, they're already developing in their brains. And it can be healthy or it can be toxic. And so, you know, my challenge to you, even I don't care how old your children are in your home. Listen, we need to say the right things to them. We need to have families that are filled with love and encouragement and challenging and developing of relationship. We need that because why? That's the way God designed us. We're not designed to be by ourselves. We're not designed that way. We're designed for relationships. Amen? That's a good story. I want to read some verses, and then that's what we're going to do for the rest of this session is to introduce some verses that kind of go along with what we're talking about. I want to read one of my favorite verses to you, Proverbs chapter 4, 23. If you've been going here any time, you know that I use this verse a lot. Watch over your hearts with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. That basically says your heart is the thing that determines what happens in your life. Guard your heart. Guard your thoughts. Guard this part right here, because this is where these things take place, and it determines the course of your life. See, you were not designed to live by chance. You can take control of your life, and it starts with learning to guard your mind and your heart. Amen. Luke 6:45. The good man out of a good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil, for his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, guess what? The mouth speaks. So whatever is in your heart is what's going to come out your mouth. See, that's part of the equation that we're talking about. What's in your heart, what you hear is what you see. What you see is what you say. It comes out of your heart, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Now, where are these fortresses at? They're in our minds. They're in our minds. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Not every thought that comes into your mind, you put there. Now, we can think, and we can reason, but not every thought that comes through your mind is one that you put there. Guys, when you see a pretty girl, sometimes your flesh will put a thought in your mind. Guess what you better do, especially if you're married? You better take that thought captive, hadn't you? Sometimes God puts thoughts in our minds. These are not thoughts that you would be thinking, but all of a sudden, this thought comes into your mind. Sometimes the devil puts thoughts in your mind. So thoughts come from three places. I mean, you can think a thought based on reason and logic. God can put a thought in your mind. The devil can put a thought in your mind. Or your flesh can put a thought in your mind. So what this tells us to do is to take those thoughts that go against the knowledge of God into captivity. Why? Because if you think on it long enough, it's going to produce a mental image on the inside of you. And you're going to begin to think on that. You're going to meditate on that. You're going to begin to speak that. You're going to begin to do that. And you'll eventually become that. And it's a design to kill, steal, and destroy. One of the greatest ways that the enemy works is through your mind. It's through your mind. It's not out here. I've never seen the devil, have you? You know, he don't walk up to you in a red union suit with horns and a pitchfork. He comes against your thoughts. He plants thoughts in your mind. See, he's the one that tells you you're no good. You'll never amount to anything. God will never tell you that. See, God's got a plan for you. And it's a good design. It's a good plan. But the devil will do everything he can to keep you from becoming that. And one of the greatest ways that he does that is to put thoughts in your mind. You know, you failed at that. You tried that before, and you didn't do any good at that. And and you begin to see yourself as a failure. And you begin to say, I'm such a failure. I'll never amount to anything. You say it. You begin to sabotage your own success. And eventually you'll become that. Or you can take that thought captive. Somebody needs to hear this. Or you can take that thought captive and bring it into the obedience of Christ. Now, where do we find the obedience of Christ? The Word of God. I harp at you, folks. I preach at you. I encourage you. I even gripe at you. I'm trying to get you into your Bibles. Okay? God has given us His thoughts. He has put His thoughts in our Bible. And He has wrapped that in leather and has given it to us. And it's poor stewardship. Here I'm preaching again. It's poor stewardship on our part to ignore that. Robert, it's going to be embarrassing when we get up to heaven and Jesus gives us the grand tour. And He introduces us to Habakkuk. And we don't know who he is. Because we've never read his book in the Bible. It's going to be embarrassing. Now, Robert's read that book. So he'll know who he is. Oh, yeah, you're one of the minor prophets. That, you know, you wrote the, yeah. This thing with the Word of God is very important. You need to be on some kind of Bible reading plan. Whether you listen to it, whether you read it, whether you do both. You need to be on a Bible reading plan. How else are you going to know what God thinks? Well, Pastor, you're supposed to tell us. No, I'm not. See, listen to what I'm telling you. Get into your Bibles and get your Bible into you. Okay. All right. But you'll never take a thought captive to the obedience of Christ if you don't know what Christ said. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, 7. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But in everything by prayer. Here, listen to this. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. God knows what you need. And God wants you to ask Him for what you need. And this says, with thanksgiving, prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, peace has supernatural ability to guard and protect your heart. Living in peace and walking in peace. Proverbs 4:25. Let your eyes look directly ahead. Let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. You don't need to investigate everything that comes along. There's things that you don't even need to be concerned about. You don't need to look to the right or the left. You need to look. Mind your business. Do what you're supposed to do. You can't mind other people's business. You can't be distracted by everything that's coming down the pike. There are lots of distractions out there. Did you know that? Let me tell you, a big one is television. Television is designed to shape the way that you think. And sad to say, it does a pretty good job. Okay, second, that's another series. 2 Corinthians 10:5, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:4 talks about the God of this world. It says, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of God, who is the image of God. Why don't unbelievers understand the Word of God? It's because they're blinded by the God of this world. He distracts them. He distracts them. And He blinds their mind. Why? Because if they see it, it's going to transform their lives. Listen, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, deliverance, and wholeness. Yes. Oh, I'm happy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. What are you supposed to do with your mind? Prepare, not ignore. Prepare, not ignore your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit and body. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Psalms 101 verse 3, I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not fasten its grip on me. You have to be purposeful. You have to be purposeful. Mark 7:21. It says, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, and adulteries. Where does adultery start? It starts in the heart. It starts with a thought. Where does murder start? It starts with a thought. Thoughts become sight. Sight becomes words. Words becomes actions. Actions become reality. All right. I love Philippians 4:8. Oh, finally, brethren, whatever is true. It didn't stop there. It may be true that Gary Boyer is a rascal. I'm picking at him. But it doesn't stop there. Whatever is honorable. Oh, I can't talk about Gary being a rascal because that's not honorable. Whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute. If there's any excellent or anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Don't be thinking about gossip and topics and Facebook and drama. That may be true, but it's not honorable, it's not pure, it's not edifying, there's no virtue, there's no praise in it. Don't think on it. Only think on those things that are good. See, this is telling you how to choose your thoughts. This is telling you how to get rid of the thoughts that you don't need to be thinking. Because if you leave a thought in your mind long enough, it'll become an image. It'll become an image, and then you'll start talking it. Then you'll start doing it, and you'll become that very thing. Okay, Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. See, you can prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. But you have to change the way that you think to do that. It's to be proven out in your life. To be proven out into your life. It's a process. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. It's important what you think about. Last verse, then we're going to pray. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind, listen to this, for the mind set on the flesh is death. But the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. Your thoughts will control your life that much, that if you're fleshly minded, you will not even be able to think the right way. You won't be able to obey. Your thought life is important. It will determine your worldview, how you view the world that you live in. And that's why it's so necessary that we shape that with the Word of God. And we're going to talk about that for the next few weeks. Let's bow our heads. we just introduced this today. I'm excited about, I love faith. I love talking about faith, and I've taught faith for all my ministry, and I want to talk about it more. Today, Father, we prepare our hearts to worship you again. Lord, today we want to just open ourselves to you. Father, I believe that you've spoken to us today. You've spoken to our hearts. That there's areas of our life today that you by your Spirit have put your finger on and have said, I want to touch that. I want to change that. But Lord, you need our permission to do that. Father, right now we want to just open ourselves to you. And we want you to guide us through the process of transformation, of changing the way that we think so that we can be what you want us to be. Father, bless you today. Thank you for the starting of this process in lives here today. In Jesus' name, let's stand. Let's worship God. As you worship God, let God touch your heart today. Let him do something special.